This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And it was really hard coming into the studio today. It's so beautiful outside.
I know.
I can play Pandora on my iPhone and listen to music anywhere I want. It's just really so pleasant. Mm-hmm. But I decided to come into the studio so we could talk a little technology.
We're all better off for this decision, by the way.
I know. It's much, much better. Well, you know, the people are talking this week, one of the dirty little secrets of Twitter, you can buy followers.
Yeah, I know.
For $5 for 1,000.
Isn't that crazy?
So we'll go to how that's done and who's doing it.
The funny thing about that is, Doc, I'm on Twitter, and I got my 1,100th follower yesterday, and it was a bot telling me exactly what you're about to tell us.
That's right. So you could pick up another 1,000 for
it's
overnight, but they're a complete waste of time.
I'd rather earn it.
And, of course, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
It's a whole bunch of pages.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
We got an email from Mary in Bethesda. Dear Doc Schertz, I often find people on LinkedIn that I'd like to be able to send an email to, but I don't have a paid level of access to LinkedIn and therefore can't send an email to them. I've learned over time that if you know where someone works and on LinkedIn, a current position is listed, you can go to Google and search for example, at adintel.com, and often somebody's email will come up and you can learn the recipe of what other emails are like. What I'm wondering is hasn't somebody come up with like a master list or resource where you can actually go and look up what the format of, say, email addresses are at AT&T or at Verizon or at any company in particular? I hope you and Jim have a great summer. This show of yours is a treasure. I've got to read the good stuff. And you serve the listeners with a beneficial resource that I find of real value. Well, thank you, Mary.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, that was a great idea, Mary, resource. When I looked around for a resource like that, I mean, that sounds like a good money-making idea.
Now, if she's wishing us a happy summer in May, is she, planning to go off to the islands or something like that, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know what her plans are. Maybe in a subsequent email she'll let us know. Because maybe she's not – does that mean you're not going to listen to the show in the summer?
I hope and if she is away from the radio, of course, and we'll talk about this later, there's the podcast.
There's the podcast, or else you can have the TuneIn application on your iPhone, and you can listen to the streaming audio directly over the internet anytime. Well, first of all, Mary, that was a good idea. I looked for it. There's nothing like that at all, and I looked everywhere. Now, the good news is, for $10 a pop, you can send an email. So if you just want to pay $10, you can send an email to anybody on LinkedIn and they'll put it through, whether you have a paid account or not. Now, the thing with LinkedIn, if you want to send anybody an email, they have to be a first connection or a second connection or a third connection, and that's about it, and you can't send it to anybody else. So it could be that you could join some groups that perhaps these guys would be in, and you just broaden the number of connections that you have.
You can send an email to somebody that you're connected with, can't you?
Yeah. If they're first, second, or third related.
It's free.
It's free.
Okay.
You can send them. But if you want to send it to somebody that maybe is, you know, six levels away from you,
you got to pay for it.
You have to pay for it unless you've got one of these premium accounts that will give you 5, 10, or 15 what they call in-mails a month free. But if you don't have a premium account, you can just pay $10 and send it. Now, there are ways to look up email addresses, and you sort of hinted at that. You want to do first name, last name, and put it in quotation marks. We're Googling this because you want to get the particular name. And then you write the next word is email because you're looking for the word email in there. And then you put then whatever domain it is, @AT&T.com. That is correct, Mary. And if you put email and @the domain and their first and last name in quotation marks, chances are you'll pick it up. However, you're only going to be searching web pages, and a lot of times people try to keep their email address off the web pages. So what you can do is that you can search for documents. So like you could, at the end, you could put file type, colon, say, XLS for Excel spreadsheet, and you could search only XLS spreadsheets. Or you could put file type .pdf and search only PDF files. And so frequently people will not have their email address on a web page, but they'll post a PDF paper to the web, and you can find it that way. And that actually works pretty well. But you can only put down one file type at a time, not more than one. So you search, and it was really interesting. I was playing around with this morning, you know, because I prepare Tech Talk every Saturday morning, get up at 2:30. It's my regular routine.
It's doc time.
It's doc time, and nobody nobody bothers me. Nobody bothers me at 2:30 at night. So I was looking around, and I was searching for a file type, XLS, Excel spreadsheets. My goodness, I could find so many Excel spreadsheets that were just available to the internet with all kinds of, like, employee data, you know, email addresses. It was unbelievable. Yeah. People don't realize what's out there. So, mm-hmm. in fact, and so then I started looking around some more, and there are certain companies, you know, that collect these lists of emails that they, addresses that they sell. That's how they, that's one of the techniques they use to harvest them.
Huh.
So, you know, as an aside, if you work for a company, I'd check for document types to see whether your company's got anything which is open to the internet that could easily be picked up.
You know, it's funny because on LinkedIn, I don't use it a whole lot, but this was curious to me because I didn't realize that the whole – I knew there were different levels of service. Mm-hmm. You had to pay for some of it. But I'm thinking, well, that's maybe why somebody didn't respond to one of my emails. But it is a first-tier connection. Maybe – they just don't like
they, me. Yeah, dog. First year is going to go right
they,
through.
They probably don't like me if they didn't. They respond.
Yeah. Are you still connected to them?
Oh yeah.
Okay. They didn't terminate the connection.
No.
So it's not total dislike.
It's just maybe indifference.
Indifference. Yeah.
Okay. Which is actually worse than dislike.
It could be. Okay, we got an email from Tung in Ohio. Tung is one of our regular listeners from Ohio. Yeah, we've got a whole bevy of folks up there in Ohio. Dear Doc and Jim, my friend has been sending me small videos via text messages.
Uh-oh. Well, this family's been having trouble with
small
with texting
videos and... via text message. It already sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to make my own movies. Oh, come on, Thong. Come on. I don't think this is a good idea.
No.
I'd like to be able to make my own movies and send them via text messages. Now, these are private movies. Okay.
I bet they are.
So I want to be able to send them myself.
Oh.
Yeah. How can I do this? We listen to the live stream each Saturday morning. Love the show. Thung in Ohio.
And she's probably blushing right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have put your name on this email.
Jane Doe in Ohio.
Okay. Well, first of all, Thung, you cannot send a movie with text messages. All you can do with the text message is you can attach a picture. Now, in your case, the image looks like a movie because it's formatted not as a normal JPEG, but as a GIF, mm-hmm. as a GIF format. And it turns out that GIF stands for Graphics Interchange Format, and it's a bitmap image that was introduced by CompuServe in 1987. And it's got a lot of usage, and one of the ways that it's used, it can display a fast succession of separate images that look like a movie. So those are called animated GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the GIF and you might take, say, 20 frames or 30 frames and ask the format to play each one of those frames sequentially and at the end loop back to the beginning, you'll see that GIF just going in an infinite loop that looks like a movie that just mm-hmm. goes on forever. So there are a number of ways to produce GIFs, actually. They're very popular. And so if you want to send a movie-like thing with a text message, you have to make your GIF first. Now, if you have Photoshop, which unfortunately costs a few $100s, it's the most convenient way to do it. You can make animated GIFs with Photoshop. You just create a series of images in Photoshop, or you take a series of images that you want to make into a GIF, and then you can load all of those up into one, you stack them on top of each other as different layers, And then you can simply tell GIF to tell Photoshop to turn that into a GIF for you. And it'll just run through the layers, and it will convert all the layers into different frames, and you'll get different and you'll get your GIF coming right out of it. It's very easy to do. It's quite easy to handle. Now, the other nice thing that Photoshop does allow you to do, it allows you to take a video and turn it into a GIF. So it will read MPEG format, MP4 format, AVI format, or MOV formats. These are all different movie formats. And you simply bring that up into Photoshop and tell it you want to convert it into a GIF, and you say how much, how long is the sequence, how many frames. It will actually then take and snap frames of that particular movie and turn it into a GIF for you. It's very quick, very nicely done. I think a lot of the animated GIFs on the internet are probably just movies that have been converted to GIFs. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm thinking, Tom, that you don't want to spend $300 on Photoshop.
Doesn't sound like it.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you're that this is going to be more of a budget movie. So, let me give you some give you some low cost options here. You've got Picasian, Picasion, Picasion.com. Let you create an animated GIF by uploading individual photos. Now, you have got to resize them so they're all the same dimension, and you can upload them directly from your from your PC. It also will let you upload them from, say, Flickr or from Picasa. These are like web-based methods for pictures. Now, the other nice thing it has, you can actually turn on your webcam, and you can turn your web and you can set your webcam up so that it will take flashes. It will take a series of pictures, and you can upload those directly to the site just right from your webcam. So you can just make a movie and get the GIF right away. Now, that's free. That's Picasion.com, Picasion. It works just fine, and it won't let you make huge. I mean, it limits the number of frames and the size, but for most uses like that you would have, I think that would work just fine. Now, another good option is GIF Ninja, GIF Ninja, GIFNINJA. Now, GIF Ninja, if you've got a video file that's smaller than 20 megabytes, you can simply upload the movie directly to GIF Ninja. It'll accept it as an upload, and it will turn the first few frames into a nice animated GIF. So that's could be a quick way to do it. So there you go, Tung. I hope you enjoy making your private movies.
We're not getting into the content.
No, we're just not. We're just not going to get into that at all. We've got an email from Sophia in Alexandria. Dear Tech Talk, I have an advertising pop-up on my computer that I just can't get rid of. When I do any kind of search, my browser will come up with a particular site, but I click on the site, and I keep coming up with this same website, which is for some kind of prize. What's happening? I'm using Windows XP and Internet Explorer 9. What should I do? Thanks, Sophia in Alexandria. Well, Sophia, your browser has been hijacked. Now, a browser hijack is a type of malware that infects your system. Once downloaded, it waits until you do an internet search. And when it sees a page with search results, it updates those results with its own links to advertisements or other websites. So no matter what you click on, you'll see whatever the malware wants to show you. You're just stuck with it. Now, you definitely want to treat this malware. Now the good news is it's sending you to a site that is just for contests. Some of the sites they send you to actually will further infect your machine, and they're very dangerous sites to go to. Hopefully that's not the site that it's been sending you to. Now, my first suggestion would be make certain you're running up-to-date antivirus software and anti-spyware. Chances are you didn't have updated stuff, or you wouldn't have gotten it. It also sounds like that since you probably need to scan your system. Now, one free system for scanning is Malwarebytes, Malwarebytes. It's a free tool available for download from Malwarebytes.org. So you can download that. You can scan your machine if you don't want to update your antivirus or buy antivirus, and that should take care of it. Now, once you get the malware off your computer, just kind of watch what you're doing. You tend to pick this stuff up when you go to certain sites that really aren't trustworthy, mm-hmm. and also make certain not to click on attachments to emails that you just don't trust. So make those, just be vigilant. You probably stay away from it, and always keep your antivirus and your anti-malware software up to date. We got an email from VJ in Sri Lanka. Dear Tech Talk, I'm in Colombo, Sri Lanka, and I listen to the podcast each week. Wow. My computer is locked up, and I'm told that in order to unlock it, I'll have to pay $300.
This happened in one of the newsroom computers.
They are implying that I've done something wrong.
Uh-huh.
They're probably trying to scare the bejesus out of you with whatever they're saying. What should I do? I love the show, VJ. Well, VJ, we talked about this two or three weeks ago with the FBI scam. You've been infected with ransomware. Now, what it does, just as with the FBI scam, where it shows a big official FBI page saying that you've done something with child pornography just to scare you, they probably have some other sort of pseudo enforcement page up there that's scaring you that you've done something wrong. Now, ransomware is a type of malware that tries to get you to pay in order to unlock your computer. And they have various ways to get you to pay. They threaten you, and then they have you go to some anonymous way to transfer money to them. Now, this ransomware is delivered as part of malware's payload. It may be delivered by an exploit kit such as Black Hole, which exploits vulnerabilities on effective computers to silently install and execute the malware. There are a lot of prepackaged programs out there that people can use to actually load this malware on your machine. You don't have to be an expert on coding. You just can get a hold of the software that does it. Now, earlier attempts at ransomware tended to be simpler, but recently there have been more blatant attempts where they try to actually have police-themed ransomware that try to disguise their ransom demands as official-looking warning messages like that FBI system.
Yeah.
Okay, in most cases, there is one site. There's F-Secure Easy Clean Removal Tool. F-Secure Easy Clean Removal Tool. You can Google that, F-Secure Easy Clean Removal Tool. And I'll put a link to it. And you simply go on that site. You can click it, and this removal tool will actually remove this ransomware from your computer quite conveniently. And if it's completely locked up, you go to another computer, you can download and get a CD image in order to boot up and use this thing. So that's actually pretty good. There are other legitimate vendors out there that have cleanup tools, but F-Secure is pretty good. We got an email from Don. Dear Tech Talk, I would like to use Google Drive on my PC and my iPhone. How does it work? Love the show. Thanks, Don. Well, Google Drive is an internet-based storage system, cloud storage, as they say. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do in order to access Google Drive, you have to set up an account and have applications. So what you want to do on your iPhone, you download the Google Drive application. Once you download the Google Drive application, they're going to ask you to create an account. Now, you use the same username and password as you have for Gmail. So put in your Gmail username and your Gmail password, and when you put those into the Google Drive application, it creates a Google Drive account for you on the Google servers. Now, in order to synchronize with your PC, go to your PC, you could just go to Google Drive, and then you can log into Google Drive web page, and you can see the files have been uploaded from your iPhone. But if you'd like the files to actually be on your PC, you can download a Google Drive application for your PC. So simply go to Google Drive, Google Drive, and then you'll get there, and there's a button that says download the application. Download that application to your PC, and you'll go through the same thing. It will say, give me a username and password. You put in your Gmail username and password, and when you do that, that application creates a Google Drive on your PC, which is then synchronized with the cloud. So it's really quite nice. It doesn't synchronize quite as fast as the Apple iCloud. I was sort of checking synchronization times. Apple iCloud synchronizes within within a couple of minutes. Sometimes this took up to 10 minutes before I was able to say, I transferred a picture to the Google Drive folder in my iPhone. It took about 10 minutes to show up on my PC, but actually it's pretty convenient. So Google Drive is one of those cloud-based storage devices. You've also got the Microsoft SkyDrive, and you've got the Apple iCloud. All of these are competing products trying to get you to use their tools.
We thank you for your emails. We always like them. And how would folks send you a question if they have something
they'd
like to know about?
Yeah, we love your emails. Just send us emails to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll get that right to you. We'll talk about it on the next show, or else we'll write directly back to you. And also, we want you to go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/techtalkonline. We'll look for comments during the show. And, of course, you can always check us out on techtalkonline.com, and you can sign up for the podcast either there or on Apple iTunes.
And, of course, you can learn more about our fine sponsors at Stratford University by going to stratford.edu. You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. More Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to be profiling Marty Cooper. His friends call him Marty.
Just Marty.
Yeah, Marty. His mom calls him Martin. Martin
Most
Cooper.
Moms do that.
Yeah. Marty Cooper is a pioneer in the wireless communications industry and widely regarded as the father of the cell phone. Marty Cooper was born December 26, 1928 in Chicago, Illinois, the day after Christmas.
Hmm.
I'm saying his whole life was probably happy birthday and Merry Christmas.
I know somebody who had to live through that. Imagine being a leap year baby. I know somebody who only had a birthday party for 4 years.
I know. My sister was born December 26th, and, you know, it's happy birthday and Merry Christmas. And so she never did get a birthday present.
What a rip-off.
Everything was like a combo gift, yeah. Now, Cooper graduated from the Illinois Institute of Technology, IIT, in 1950. After graduating, he enlisted in the U.S. Naval Reserves, where he served as a submarine officer during the Korean War. In 1957, Cooper earned a master's degree in electrical engineering from IIT. He left his first job at Teledyne Corporation in Chicago in 1954 and joined Motorola, kind of a startup operation then, as a senior development engineer in the mobile equipment group. He developed many products, including the first cellular-like portable handheld police radio system produced for the Chicago Police Department in 1967.
No kidding.
What he did there, have you ever seen these police officers? Mm-hmm. They've got this radio sort of on their pocket, clipped to their pocket. Well, that radio is actually going back to the car,
exactly,
which is a base station.
Right.
So he developed that. He developed that technology for the police.
Exactly. It basically uses the car as a repeater for the lower-powered radio that the officer's wearing.
That's exactly.
And they all wear them now.
They all wear them out, yeah. So thank you, Morty, for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually saved lives.
It is, because they can communicate from wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 1970s, Cooper headed the Motorola's Communication System Division. In 1973, he conceived the first portable cellular phone. Cooper stated that his vision was inspired by Captain James T. Kirk, who used his communicator on Star Trek.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Let me have a sidebar here.
Sidebar time.
A sidebar.
Okay.
See, in the beginning, they had what they called radio telephones, where you'd have like one big radio tower, and you could go anywhere in the town, and you could sort of talk by radio and make a phone call. Now, the problem is, when you had one giant tower that covered the whole town, you couldn't have very many conversations, because there was a certain amount of capacity that the bandwidth could carry, so maybe the entire town could only have 20 conversations.
Sure.
So what they did, they decided they needed to reuse the spectrum. So they created smaller towers that would only cover a small distance, and that small region that the tower would cover would have 20 conversations, and then they'd have a tower right next to it that would have 20 conversations. Mm-hmm. And the tower next to it was a slightly different frequency, and they divided the frequency band up into seven different frequencies, and they had these small towers placed around, and the coverage area of each tower was called a cell. So it became cellular mm-hmm. radio. That's where the cell phone came from. It was just a way to spatially divide the frequency up.
And that's why now when you go to a big venue and a lot of people have phones, mm-hmm. why sometimes it's tough to get coverage, right? Because you're back to that original
You're back theory. To the original problem. And mm-hmm. so they have to put cells, when you go into cities or high-density areas, the cells have to get closer and closer together so you have more capacity. So that was kind of the evolution of the idea of cellular telephone. Okay, let's get back to Marty now. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? Yeah. We get the radio telephone. My uncle had a ship-to-shore radio, which was basically the same thing.
That's right. Yeah.
And I remember him trying to place a call from the boat, and we would have to wait in queue so mm-hmm. that there was for a spot to open up so he could place his call.
Yeah.
And
it was the same deal.
Prohibitively expensive.
Now, and the other thing that was significant about his vision were he basically came up with the idea of a portable cellular phone. See, the competing idea was being developed by AT&T. They were using cellular technology as a car phone.
Hmm.
So in their mind, you've got a phone in the house, you have a phone in the car. They never thought of somebody carrying a phone around with them.
Yeah.
So this was the revolutionary idea. AT&T developed the concept of cellular communication, but they were developing it for this 30-pound unit that went in the trunk of the car.
Sure.
But Marty said, I think we should carry this thing around. And so he conceived of his first portable cell phone in 1973. Top management was very supportive of his idea. And between 73 and 93, they invested $100 million in development before they actually realized any revenues. It ultimately became one of Motorola's top grossing products till they lost out to other vendors.
Sure.
Now, the original handset was called the Dynatac, which that stands for Dynamic Adaptive Total Area Coverage. It weighed 2.5 pounds, was 10 inches long, and it was called, lovingly, the brick.
Yes.
You remember the brick. Now, the amazing thing is that Cooper, once he visualized this idea of a portable cell phone, he assembled a design team, and they put together the product, get this, in 90 days. In 90 days.
That's amazing.
So,
now, if you Google that image, mm-hmm. you'll see. I mean, this was what everybody had back then. I remember somebody here as a reporter who had that.
It looked just like the brick. That's
would
right.
Stick it in his waistband and walk around.
It weighed 2.5 pounds, was 10 inches long. As I said earlier, it only had 20 minutes of talk time, and then you had a 10-hour recharge. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't actually released until 1983. After four iterations, and when it was finally released and in commercial production, it was sold for $4,000, which is equivalent to $9,400 in today's date.
Mm.
Now, this is the the event that we're commemorating this week. On April 3rd, 1973, after the 90-day development, Cooper made his first handheld cellular telephone call. And he called his chief competitor, Dr. Joel S. Engel, who was head of Bell Labs. And he was standing in downtown New York City. He said, "Joel, this is Marty. I'm calling on the first portable cellular phone."
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And Joel wasn't happy to receive that phone call.
I'm sure.
And, of course, Bell Labs was just working really hard on this car-mounted phone, which obviously didn't really go anywhere. Now, Marty also, and the reason he did this, by the way, he wanted to have a dramatic demonstration. He had the press there. So this was a live phone call. They had a press conference. People were there. He dialed the number live. He talked to the AT&T guy. He was on camera when he was doing it. And it really made waves, and mm-hmm. it produced enormous support for the mobile phone movement that Motorola was, because you see Motorola, I mean, they're producing the handset, but you got to have telcos, you got to have companies that actually put up the towers, put up the infrastructure. So that's why there was a 10-year gap between when he made his first phone call in 73 till 83 when it was commercially viable, because you had to have a network to support it. But that was a pretty fast development for a transformative technology. Now, he also led at Motorola the development of a lot of other technologies. The trunked mobile radio, I guess they did work on that. The quartz crystals, quartz crystal oscillators, liquid crystal displays, piezoelectric components, and Motorola AM stereo technology. He ultimately became vice president and corporate director of R&D at Motorola. When he was working on these quartz crystals, he actually fixed a flaw in the quartz crystal used in Motorola radios and encouraged the company to mass produce the first crystals that would be used in wristwatches. In 1986, Cooper co-founded Cellular Payphone, the parent company of Great Call, which was an innovator in a thing called the Jitterbug cell phone that was, you know, quite popular at its time. In 1992, Cooper co-founded Arraycom, the developer of software for smart antenna technologies, which is used for both mobile telephones and long-range wireless. This is actually quite significant. He believes that smart antennas are going to increase the capacity of the network even further, where basically the antenna adaptively responds to users in its field and focuses the energy just on those users by adjusting the phase of the signal. Mm-hmm. So you don't waste signal going to places where people are not located.
So it's like having a smart directional antenna.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that allows you also to more efficiently use the spectrum, because if you're focusing energy down on this guy, you might be able to use that same spectrum if you're focusing to somebody else in another area, because they're spatially separate. So he believes that you can get much more capacity using smart antenna technology. So this is his current passion. Marty Cooper proposed Cooper's Law. Everybody has to have a law, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And his Cooper's Law states that wireless channel capacity doubles every 30 months. Now, that's because of improved signal processing, mm-hmm. like with smart antennas and other things like that. And you can sort of see it, sort of the evolution from 2G to 3G to 4G, where we're getting more and more throughput on these systems. So the channel capacity is doubling every 30 months because of increased spectral efficiency. When Cooper joined Motorola, let's talk about the money.
Yeah.
When Cooper joined Motorola, he signed an agreement for all of his inventions. And this agreement said that they would belong to Motorola. He was paid $1 to make that agreement legal.
He's not the sharpest businessman ever, now, is he?
No, but I saw him actually interviewed. Somebody asked him about that. He says, "Well, actually, he got enormous satisfaction over developing the cell phone, and he said Motorola did take care of him."
So that's good.
So he actually felt that quite happy with that agreement, and he went on to develop other things. You know, many years ago, I had Marty on, as a guest on the show. He was, like, visiting locally.
I'm not kidding.
I had him as a guest on the show, and he's quite a a humble guy and very interesting to talk to. It's sort of like all these guys that are writing, these innovators. They do it for the love of the technology and not for love of money. And that was the way he came across.
He sounds like he'd be fascinating to talk to. That'd be great. I mean, if that ever opportunity ever happened again, it'd be great to have him on the show.
Yeah, that's right. So there we go. That's all you want to know about Marty Cooper, the father of the cell phone.
So we talk so often about stuff on Tech Talk that's breakthrough, groundbreaking technology. Like, you know, for instance, the CD, which is now on its way out. Ever see anything replacing the cell phone?
Replacing the cell phone. I mean, it could be that these, like this Google Glass, where you end up don't actually carrying a cell phone. I think there's going to be sort of ubiquitous cell phone connectivity, but I think the idea of carrying something like we carry is probably going to go away.
Really? What would you?
Like what Google is doing with a heads up display.
Huh. Okay.
So you just got something like a pair of glasses. A call comes in, or a text message comes in, you just see it
on your glasses.
You just see it projected out in front of you. So as you're walking along, you just see a projection of any text messages. And if you want to answer the call, you just touch your glasses and answer the call. So you actually don't carry a cell phone.
So then again, we're talking about the watch. The watch could be that same sort of an appliance, right?
The watch could be that way. I think we're going to something which is wearable.
Gotcha.
Which is wearable instead of something you got to put in your pocket.
Interesting.
I think that's the evolution of this whole thing.
You learn so much by listening to this show, if you're paying attention. Speaking of which, if you're paying attention, you will be rewarded, or at least one listener will be rewarded for that knowledge here shortly when we play the pop quiz on Tech Talk Radio, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. More of Tech Talk coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to the classroom of the airwaves.
You always say that with such gusto.
I know.
As you're trying to make a point to me.
I know. Even though this is a radio station, for 1 hour every week, we turn this studio into a classroom.
We do.
We've got a projector over there. We've got a whiteboard, and it's a very, very serious academic
classroom. I want to know where the lunchroom is.
That's right. Now, of course, if there is a class, and if there's a classroom, and if there's any kind of instruction, there's always going to have to be some type of assessment. And so we're going to have a pop quiz. If you get the correct answer to the pop quiz, you will get an A for today. Plus, you will win 2 tickets to fine dining at the Escapier Dining Room or the Karem Dining Room. All you have to do is figure out the right answer to the pop quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the show, I was talking about Marty Cooper, of course, the father of the cell phone. What was the nickname of the first cell phone that he released in 1983 while he was working at Motorola?
Now, You could actually use a cell phone to get us the correct answer. But the best way, again, is to call us on any sort of a phone. If you're calling from west of Chicago, Illinois, it's 877-936-9333. From east of the Rockies, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wild card line is 877-936-9333.
Now, for those of you in the International Space Station, you can reach us by Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your call will be forwarded directly to the studio free of charge.
Would that really work from the international?
Yeah, they've got an internet connection.
No kidding.
There'd be no problem at all.
And we have a special treat.
Party, yeah. Don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks, this is David Burt.
Don't stop.
Wow. He's here. You like that? That's your music, David.
Your own. Crack staff is at it again.
There you go.
You know, Doc, I walked in on the end of your, a dissertation on LinkedIn?
Yes.
I hate LinkedIn. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm getting there with you.
All it is everybody's looking for a job, and they're like barnacle suckers.
Well,
the minute you get on there, all it is people wanting.
And there's a whole lot of butt kissing that goes on. There's people endorsing you for this, that,
yeah, I got
and
your
the other
endorsement.
Thing.
You know,
well,
those
endorsements where they sort of just they're like likes. Those don't mean anything.
Yeah, they don't mean a thing.
I've got people that are endorsing me that don't even know me.
Yeah, and me too.
I joined LinkedIn about 5 years ago, and I've never been to it. All I know is everybody that's contacted me needed a job or needed some dough, and I'm going, why did I even get involved?
This is a waste of time. It's worse than Facebook.
Except, you see, at Stratford, we hire about 20 people a week, so it really helps us.
Watch him dance.
I love LinkedIn because what it is, God. I've connected through. I've got a whole network of people in education, and then my HR people link to me, so they have access to all my contacts. They search my contacts and they target specific people out in the industry.
This is a guy who still has his MySpace page,
and he's using a Walkman.
No, I know one thing for sure. The doc is up to speed on his
technology. He's got that stuff, yeah, right.
Because his wife wins everything.
Exactly.
That's how he's up to speed on everything.
That's right. She wins it and I steal it.
That's the luckiest woman. That's the luckiest woman in high tech. Everywhere she goes, she wins something. That's incredible. Doc, what did I miss out on so far? I hate to have you redo your show.
We're doing the space elevator later on if you want to stick around.
I can't wait.
And string theory's next week if you want to come back for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Doc, I was afraid for a while there that you'd be leaving the show. I heard Elliot Spitzer was looking for a PR guy.
Oh!
he wanted to learn about that space elevator.
He's here all the week, everybody.
He likes the space elevator. He likes the space elevator. That's right.
Anyway, sorry, Doc. Normally, I like to focus. By the way, I bought a new iPhone 5.
Really?
Upgrade. I should say upgrade.
Show off.
You upgraded to the iPhone 5.
Did you win one yet?
I'm still on the iPhone 4S.
Okay. Oh, S.
4S.
Doc and I have phone parity.
For sure. Very nice.
It's the four shirts. It's my signature. You should have had the 4B.
Would you?
The rapier wit on this man. Writing your jokes,
Doc. Rapier wit. I'm telling you, I don't stand a chance.
No, you don't.
He runs to the net and just slams it right back over the net.
There you go.
Didn't have a chance.
Mr. Volleyball's comedy there.
So how do you like the 5? And what's the difference here for you?
I bought the 5, I was, first of all, the screen cracked for the second time. The third time, my headphone ended a jack. I'm having to screw around. Finally, I was up for an upgrade.
Sure.
I went to the 5. Why not? What the hey? It's no different than the 4S. It's really not.
People are complaining about the camera. About the 5 camera.
Really?
There were complaints on the 5. Had some sort of like overcast, sort of bluish overcast to them. There were complaints on the blogs about the
camera. Hey, they got cataracts, Doc. You got to start hanging around younger people.
That's right.
Well, have you noticed? One of the things that David, I know, is a big concern of yours was battery life in the 4. The 5 had a different, better battery, right?
That's still up for discussion.
I was going to ask.
I'm not that.
You're not that.
I don't see a big battery life here. As a matter of fact, I think it's smaller than the 4S.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
I think the only thing that the 5 has is the bigger screen.
That's it.
Which is formatted for watching movies, widescreen movies.
I don't want to watch a movie.
I'm old. I can't see.
My son watches movies on his iPhone.
Right.
I mean, I would never.
That's because you're too cheap to buy him a TV.
He's sitting there. No, he has a subscription to Netflix, and he gets it on his iPhone.
God, I love that's, that.
But, you know, it's going to end this year.
What's going to end?
Because of data plans?
Because of data. He's on my data plan. That baby is ending this year.
Off
and
the payroll.
I'm thinking his watching movies on the data plan are probably going to come to a screeching halt later this year.
Is he married yet?
He's married.
Well, this what's is he doing wasting time on the phone? What's that all about?
This is the last gasp. You see, when kids move out of the house, the last thing they connect with is they sort of hang on to that phone plan.
And health insurance.
I'm finally cutting the umbilical cord this year on the phone plan.
You're a cruel
Merry
dad.
Christmas,
that's
son. You're on the plan.
That's right. I don't think he'll be watching Netflix movies next year.
Okay, he'll have to go and buy a TV
I know
now.
You're short on time, and you only have like 32 minutes left, but I have...
37.
37 for counting. Yeah, we are counting. Hey, Doc, you know, I'm from the old school. Like, I remember the old Kenwood amplifiers and the tuners and that kind of stuff. It's been a while since I
made my own Heathkit amplifier, by the way, one
for
day.
For crying out loud, Doc. I know you're the smartest guy in the room. I'm asking for help here.
Okay.
What I'm asking for is this.
All right.
Do they still sell receivers and tuners and that kind of stuff? Because I want to buy one and set it up, like, you know, watch the digital things move.
I don't even know if they sell them anymore.
I don't think so.
I think they're done.
Hey, Jim, you with us here, babe?
I am. I'm looking for
Dave, I'd go on to eBay.
eBay.
Get them used.
I don't want used. I want new.
I don't think you're getting anything new because
they're gone.
They're gone. Technology's moved on.
Yeah, it has.
Technology's moved on. It's like it would be like trying.
I want a CD player, and a CD player hooks up to the tuner, and the tuner hooks up to the record. I want to set up a record player. I have an actual turntable.
You've got a turntable.
I got 2,000 albums. I want to hear them.
Yeah, that's
okay.
I've got a turntable at home too. That's just sitting collecting dust. And you just does your turntable have the little strobe light, and you adjust the speed with the strobe?
That's good stuff.
Yeah. So you want to go down memory lane?
That's the old days.
You want to go down memory lane?
You know when you had those albums and you actually knew where every pop in the song was? Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a skip coming. I know. That's my album. All right, Doc. Answered my question. There's no relief.
You gave us homework.
I've got homework. I've been waiting all month to report back to you.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't come back.
You want to know about the automatic gate opener?
Yeah.
Do you have the information?
Yeah. Let's have it, Doc.
Okay. This is the deal. I did some research for
that's
you. What you need, what you want to know is, you want some way to remotely control your gate with your smartphone.
Yeah. Well, around Camp Dave.
Yeah, around Camp Dave. So what you need is a gateway to talk to your device.
A gateway
to the gate. So there's a technology out there called the iSmart Gate Opener.
Ooh.
The iSmart Gate Opener, you know, like iPhone, but it's a little iSmart Gate Opener. It's a new technology that enables you to use your smartphone to open your gate. Now you have to download the application.
That's no problem.
And you can either run it on your Apple iOS, which, of course, is just for you, or your Google Android system.
Oh, no, we're going
And then that. You have the option of purchasing your iSmart opener, which is connected. So you got the gate opener, then this is the gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect your iSmart opener either to, at home, you got a button.
Right.
You don't want to have to use your iPhone at home. So you can either use a Wi-Fi connection to the house, or you can run Ethernet out to it.
Okay.
And so this is actually, I think, the perfect technology for you. So that would be iSmart Gate Opener.
Okay, let's ask the question we all want to hear. How much is this going to cost, Doc?
It's going to be, well, if you count all of them.
Just pull the trigger already, Doc. How much?
Okay, it's going to be less than $2,000.
Less than $2,000? Wow. That's not even the hardware.
No, this includes all the gates. So the thing is, but you've got to decide, you want gates that swing open,
do
you want gates that slide?
I think I'm doing the sliding thing.
You do the slide thing here, you know.
Track going on.
But you see the gates that open.
Unless you convince me otherwise.
They look more grand.
They do.
Because they open, and it's like you're moving into this palatial estate with the gates opening. The sliding gate is more industrial looking.
I like that.
When a gate opens to Camp Dave, they're going to be a little let down. It looks like it's got that Cracker Barrel exterior.
I like the sliding gate. Looks more like federal penitentiary. I think I like that look better.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But the one news item I think you'd be interested in, this last week, they had the first human-powered helicopter flight.
What do you mean, human-powered?
The guy sat, and he had a bicycle pedal.
He pumped it?
And there was... For the last 30 years, there's been a Sikorsky Prize.
I smell an anniversary kit.
No. There's been a Sikorsky Prize, and you get $250,000 if you can have a helicopter that will lift off the ground at least 3 feet and stay off the ground for 60 seconds.
Oh.
And so a guy got on the bicycle, and he did it. And it was basically four large blades were spread apart. And the bicycle was in the middle. They were all held together with a frame. And they just started pumping, and this thing just went up.
Wow.
And they actually did it. There's a YouTube video on it.
$250,000.
Yeah, they made $250,000, but...
Jimbo, we could have put our thought together.
It was just two guys. We could use it as a lawnmower after that.
Yeah.
It was just two guys from University of Toronto, Cameron Robertson and Todd Reichert.
Wow.
They did it, but the blades were so big they had to rent an indoor stadium.
Well, there goes that idea.
Yeah. So they rented an indoor stadium for 5 days.
5 days. Let's see, $250,000 yeah, minus think. The stadium
that'd be,
cost.
That'd be $50,000 a day so for the stadium. The so it's probably a break-even deal
don't
for
tell
them.
Me hire cheerleaders, man. Don't tell me cheerleaders. No.
And now Michael's doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
That's what motivated the guy pumping the bike.
Bring on the cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, thank you so much for that report. That was very well done. Your homework is just par excellence.
Four stars. Yeah, definitely.
Four stars.
Big gold ones.
I wish I had some homework to give you, but I don't really have any homework.
Well, you have to complete this project first.
Yeah, I do. I have to complete it.
Are you going to be raising funds on LinkedIn or Facebook in order to afford
no,
this?
No, not on LinkedIn. I don't want to be your friend.
I'm thinking you should
David Berg Gate Fund.
Why don't you set up a Kickstarter site and just raise some money?
I'd do like soupy sales. Just tell them on the radio. Just send me a dollar. That's all you got to do.
Send Dave a dollar. And, 2,000 people send you a dollar, you've got your game.
So let me just review this quickly. For the $2,000, I just don't get the iPhone app.
You get the whole thing, right?
The whole thing?
You get the whole thing, yeah.
Okay, it's not labor included. But
No, there's no labor.
Good God, David, what do you want?
Hey.
Well, okay. If
you're a handy guy, you can figure this out.
It's probably another $1,000 if it's the labor. But you're going to do the labor, I guess.
I'm going to be doing the labor.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good.
Do you think they'd let you do a telethon upstairs, maybe?
I don't think so, man.
Really? No, that would be a gate-a-thon.
Wow,
yeah. Very nice, yeah. Doc. That's why he's the doctor.
Rape your wit, as you mentioned.
All right, Doc, it's been fun. Jimbo, as always.
Likewise, David.
Yeah. Whatever, okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Come back anytime.
Bye-bye.
Nice seeing you, David. This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. More after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And the dirty little marketing secret is now out. You can get fake Twitterer followers.
Twitter
followers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Twitterers can get fake Twitter followers.
Fake tweets.
Tweets, yes.
They're tweets.
They're tweets. Yeah, they're tweets. Large brands and stars are purchasing fake followers to puff up their social media presence. It is. But see, this is, here's the deal. When you've got like a star and he's negotiating the salary that he's going to get for a particular gig, and then he says, look, I've got a 250,000 followers. If you give me this gig, I'm going to bring a lot of folks with me. Mm-hmm. And so the stars use it to pump up their value when they're selling themselves. So I can see why they might do it.
Sure.
And so you can, but it's relatively easy to figure out if somebody's got fake followers. For instance, in the case of somebody who's purchased fake followers, their account just sees a huge spike overnight. Just boom, up 20%.
Mm-hmm.
According to the New York Times, two Italian security researchers, Andrea Stropa and Carlo Di Michele, are naming a few of the large buyers as having fake followers. Now, the list includes Pepsi, Mercedes-Benz, Louis Vuitton, politicians like Newt Gingrich, representatives like Gerard Polis, and Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. And rapper 50 Cent has purchased them, as well as Sean Combs, but, otherwise known as P. Diddy.
Now, did 50 Cent pay 50 Cent or $5?
Yeah. 1,000 followers cost $5. So it's a relatively inexpensive way to improve one's perceptibility, mm-hmm. their visibility. Burst campaigns where a brand or star purchases large amounts of followers can easily be traced because they show a huge increase and then a huge drop later on. In the report in the New York Times, Citi's music artist Diddy saw sharp rises and falls in his account in 2012. Rap singer 50 Cent saw similar swings this past January, and Mercedes and Pepsi bounced up and down in typical ways in October and November of 2012. So I think it's really a waste of time, but now that the word is out, I don't think you should really try it.
You know, it's funny because speaking of getting followers the old-fashioned way, Boston Police Department, which has a really good Twitter site, they're very interactive with the community. Mm-hmm. Over because of the bombings up there, during the course of that, they got like 20,000 new tweets over the course of the couple of days that was going on.
That's probably, those are probably real.
That's definitely real.
So
yes.
there'd be a reason for people to sign up then.
Of cell phone etiquette. Thou shall not subject defenseless others to cell phone conversations. That's the first commandment.
I'll go for that.
Thou shalt not set thy ringer to play La Cucaracha every time thy phone rings.
Yep.
Thou shall turn thy cell phone off during public performances. Thou shalt not wear more than two wireless devices on thy belt.
Let me go a step further, if I might. Personal pet peeve, wearing any personal communication device of any type on your belt is a huge fashion faux pas.
That's unless you are a nerd.
Well, there's that. Yep. Unless you laugh like this.
Then
it's okay to wear it on your belt.
That's
but
right.
if you don't want to be viewed that
That's
way,
right.
don't wear stuff on your belt.
Thou shalt not dial while driving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a problem. Thou shalt not wear thy eyepiece when thou art not on thy phone.
How about the earpiece?
Yes.
Have you ever heard the earpiece?
The eyepiece.
The earpiece.
Although with the monocle, you can also pick up some signals every now and then.
That's earpiece.
That's for the video conferencing
calls. Well,
see,
that earpiece, you walk around looking like a cyborg with that earpiece
I keep
on
thinking somebody's got a large bug glued to the side of their head or something.
Thou shalt not speak louder on thy cell phone than thou would on any other phone.
Yes.
Thou shalt not grow too attached to thy cell phone.
Did you say you don't want to have a civil ceremony with your cell phone, right?
No, no. Okay. Thou shalt not attempt to impress others with thy cell phone. And the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not slam thy cell phone down on a restaurant table just in case it rings.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
So those are the 10 commandments and everything you ever wanted to know about cell phone technology.
Very good. That's it for this week. See you next week on Tech Talk Radio.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and Federal News Radio. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility.